Welcome to episode 209 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
We have some links that will give you more info. You can find those by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Which I do all the time.
No, you don't. Don't lie to me.
No, every week. At least once.
At least once. You remember last time we had a little trouble finding an ending?
Yes.
Right, because we're not done.
Oh,
aha. Yeah, see, that's what the real problem was. I was totally going to go into the mechanics of how the brain works. Instead, let's do another episode on what we can call philosophical questions, because there don't seem to be any good answers.
Oh, good. Where you can ask me questions, and I'll be like,
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
Say I write a program.
Okay.
That identifies a particular person, interferes with the functioning of their car at a particularly dangerous part of the road, and they die.
Oof.
Am I guilty of murder?
Yes.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah, that was easy.
Well, what if I wrote the program and I didn't know it was going to do that?
Oh. Well, that's called manslaughter.
That's called manslaughter. True enough. What if the program is intelligent?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, see? This at what point do we say this piece of software is responsible for its own actions?
I see where you're going with
this.
Okay.
We're asking about free will and choice.
Yeah, but in court, I'm pretty sure you're still responsible.
In court, at least at the moment. It probably, a lot of the law does this, would come down to a question of intent.
Yes.
Because even if you wrote a piece of software that was intelligent, self-aware, even arguably conscious, if you did things so that one day it would kill that person. If you meant it.
That was the difference between when you went from murder to manslaughter.
Right, right.
As you do.
No, but yeah, every day. That'll be the name of my memoir, Brad Barton, Murder to Manslaughter.
Because, if you meant it, it's murder. If it was an accident, but somebody still died, it's manslaughter. Right?
Right.
And at this juncture, it's going to be really hard to argue that the program did it
all on its own. But it is a good question. I mean, at what point do you, if we had a good definition of any of this, things like self, consciousness, and free will, we might be able to say, well, at this point, this program is responsible for its own actions. But we don't have any good definitions for any of this.
No.
Here's a question for you. Do you make choices?
Yeah.
You're sure?
I see where you're going with it.
Oh, but... yeah. This stuff makes me uncomfortable, so you're not alone.
I absolutely make choices. Dang it.
Okay.
In the moment, faced with A or B or, you know, a whole slew of choices, and I go, that one. I make choices. As to whether or not those choices are dictated by my upbringing, my
let's not get into all the pre-programming you go through. Just you have a subjective feel of being there, and you feel like the part of you that is you is the one deciding what you will do.
Yes,
I love this episode. I want to say that last sentence again. Except I don't think I can.
Well, I say it again. Okay.
Okay. But yeah. What did I just say?
It was great. You were just asking me about being a pre-programmed beast, or actually, you were sidestepping that.
I was. Desperately.
So I make these subjective choices. Not even getting into fate, right? You know, the idea that there's outer worldly things that are in charge of your destiny, and I don't mean...
All right, so I'm not getting into that.
if somebody else was presented with the same choices and then asked, what do you think Brad would do in this situation? They would probably be able to answer if they knew you well enough. So is that pre-programming?
Right. Is that pre-programming? Do I still have free will, even though arguably my choices have been dictated by my nature?
And or are predictable at this point?
Yeah, welcome to philosophy. I don't know. I want to go back to something you said in the last episode. You were talking about the movie Waking Life.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You had come to a point where somebody had made the point that the only reason you think you are you, and here we get into a bit of identity, is because you can tell a story about your entire life.
Yeah.
While you have a memory from a five-year-old child, you as an adult, almost none of the material making you up was present in that five-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
The only piece of continuity you have is the story.
Yeah.
Memories and, I don't know, snapshots and blog posts, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
I kind of think the same thing applies to what you call reality. Because you, me, most of the population, we go through states, dream states, for example, where we're absolutely convinced at the time. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But
crazy stuff is happening. But
those don't tell a coherent story.
Right.
So the real world is the place where the story is coherent, and whatever happens now will cause things you have to live with for the rest of the story.
Oh, those nights you regret. Why did I text her? No, never mind.
But there you are. And presumably your choices impact how that story unfolds over time. So what about this question? Do you actually make choices, or do you just feel like you make choices? I ran across a study that happened in 2008. Where they found that through neural activity, they could predict which choice a subject would make up to 7 seconds before they made it.
Ooh. Through neural activity. Well, okay. Yeah. So the brain is acting like this. Therefore, they can predict it.
Now, this sort of suggests that the choice was made before they were aware of making the choice.
Oh. Well, yeah, absolutely. Have you ever flipped a coin? Like, you got A or B.
Right.
You flip the coin, you call heads or tails, and you get the wrong answer. But then you know how you really feel about it.
Oh, okay. Oh, actually, yes. When you're flipping a coin to decide your next move, do I text this girl?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if it's heads, I'll text her. If it's tails, I won't. It comes up tails. You won't. You're like, oh, no, I really want to. I understand.
I thought you were going to go the other way with that. Yes.
I flipped a mental coin just then. That's the thing. It is not uncommon for motor activity to take place in the brain before you make the motion. In fact, it happens all the time. In fact, there are conditions, and this will really make you wonder about free will, where their ability to inhibit motor patterns that come up is impaired. So the patient can be sitting in the doctor's office and presented with a comb, and they'll start to comb their hair. Or something a little more incongruous, like a toothbrush. And they will start to brush their teeth.
Okay. But they don't have a choice, or they just...
This is the part that feels funny. A lot of these patients will come up with a reason why it was perfectly logical for them to brush their teeth right now.
I'm in the doctor's office, you know, we'll be talking to each other.
So it has been argued that we don't actually make choices, that all we do is figure out some sort of rationale after the choice. And at least in this case, it looks like that's true. But on the other hand, these guys are broken.
They're broken.
This is not a healthy brain running right now.
while they were studying addiction, they noticed that kind of the same thing. Addiction, the theory is addiction lives in a part of the brain that is not your frontal cortex. It's not the main part of your brain.
Substantia nigra.
Yeah, so a whole lot of processing power goes in to your thoughts and rationale about why you need to take that next hit or stick that needle in.
Yeah, I'm cutting down on smoking. I'm very aware of that chain of thoughts at the moment. Extremely complicated and convincing reasons why I should light up another cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I gotta imagine that for smart people that are addicted to something, it's even worse. Spend all of your brain that knows you so well and can talk you into the worst of things.
Yes, I get this many cigarettes a day, but I didn't take that many yesterday, so the tangent of that is...
It's like a bank system, right?
Right, right. Yeah, see...
So that sort of stuff.
That but sort of stuff.
The fact that you're trying to quit smoking, that is very much a choice, and it's going contrary to back brain processing.
Well, even that back brain processing, subjectively, it has to convince me first. Mm. Most of the time. I have occasionally lit up a cigarette without really noticing until I've two or three puffs in. I was smoking more at the time. I've at least managed to move away from that. But most of the time, I have to be convinced. This me.
Yeah.
Even if it is by me. Anyway, going back to this experiment, they're finding these motor pathways potential building up before the action takes place. That happens all the time, whether or not you choose to do it. Mm-hmm. And they're not 100% accurate. And this is a really simple test. Push the button with your left hand or your right hand.
Okay.
So there may still be a last moment final decision being made that they're not able to track. Because occasionally they look at the they look at the neural activity and say, oh, it's totally going to push it with the left hand. And the subject pushes it with the right one instead.
Right.
But I want to go back to that button pushing experiment.
Okay.
Sort of probe the moment when something seems like a decision to you.
Okay.
Now, in this experiment, you start out with a button, you push it, and the light comes on.
Okay.
And you start out, I read a little bit more about this, you start out, it's simultaneous, and then unbeknownst to the subject, you gradually increase a delay between when you hit the button and when the light comes on.
Okay.
This has been done with video games, too, by the way.
Oh, that would make me so mad. Anyway.
The subject will adapt to the delay so that it still feels instantaneous to them.
Ah.
Then you put it back to being instantaneous. Again, without telling the subject.
Okay.
To the subject, it will now feel like the light came on before they push the button.
Subjectively.
Weird. Same thing happens with video games. You start out with a delay. They get used to it. You take the delay away. And it feels like your character just moved without you doing it. Uh-huh. I've actually had that particular illusion. You know, it's got to be really prevalent with network games. Mm-hmm. You're adapting to sort of average lag. And then for a moment, the traffic gets a lot better.
Yeah.
And you suddenly feel like your character's doing stuff before you told it to.
This guy's a genius.
Now, what I want to do is set them down, same basic experiment, same conditioning, so that they will eventually feel like the light comes on before they push the button. Mm-hmm. And tell them, if they see a light, don't push the button.
Okay.
So, I want to see what they subjectively feel when that happens. And I can predict some of the things that are probably going to happen. You're going to have subjects that say, I saw the light, but I couldn't stop in time. I just decided.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I was in mid-button push. Bet you hear that a lot, which supports the notion that it was actually a conscious choice. What I want to know is if you ever hear someone say, My mind just went blank. Thank God for editing.
I know.
But I want to know times when they don't push the button. I imagine you'll get reports like, I thought I saw a light for a second. Right?
Right.
I want to know if they ever experience seeing the light without the sensation of having made the choice to push the button.
As an illusion.
Yeah, well, that's the only time they're going to see the light and not push the button. Yes. But I guarantee you people will see a light and not push the button. And kind of go like, I thought I saw a light for a second. Illusory flashes of light. It's well within the capability of our brain to make those.
Yeah, their mind was wandering or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, okay.
See, I just desperately want this experiment to be worth something.
I can feel that because there's a whole lot of, why are we doing this? You just want to put people in a box.
Yeah, with a button. They get a button.
Oh, thank God for the button.
And a light, you know. Yeah. It's all good fun. We'll even give them a cookie.
How long do you keep them in the box?
It depends upon how many cookies they want.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, the question of choice. There's an interesting system in the brain involved in voluntary motions. Mm-hmm. They're called the direct and indirect pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be a place where mechanically, when you make a choice, either to do something or to stop something that you were doing, this mm-hmm. seems to be where that happens. So getting to the mechanics, we will talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.